Welcome to Retro Fanfic Retrospective, the podcast where we dredge up old fanfiction and expose it to the cold, harsh light of 2024. My name is Amato, he, him, and with me are...
Tori, they, them.
Gala, she, her, from the country of podcasters.
What a country that would be. Does anyone listen to each other's podcasts, or they just make podcasts?
That's what the morality tale would be. Everyone would just be making their own podcast, no one listening.
Yeah. Just shouting into the void like we are.
And not observing life at all. That'd be the morality tale.
It sounds like a very lucrative export, though. We all know podcasts make tons of money.
I'm not sure there's a lot of exports in that world.
I mean, it's very insular.
Yeah.
Again, shouting into the void.
Well, I'm glad we could get together again. We've all been very busy right now. And I know especially, you know, you two are only here in Portland for 2 days and 3 nights. So like fitting us in to your schedule here, I very much appreciate.
Yeah,
I believe that would be 3 days and 2 nights.
Wait, 3 days and 2 nights.
Not sure how else that would work.
They're going. Yeah.
And but, after that, you're moving on to other countries.
Yeah, but I'm sure nothing dramatic will happen in that short time span.
And no lessons will be learned.
Yes. It feels like there should be Kino's episodes that are just slice of life and nothing dramatic happens and no one has to get shot. But like...
It doesn't feel like that to me.
They skim over it.
That's not the flavor at all.
There's like...
Should be in terms of the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, there's some episodes where Kino visits 2 or 3 places and you only see like when they... enter when they leave. We just assume that those parts they didn't show in the middle were nice, okay days where they bought cheap souvenirs at the wharf.
Yeah, but Kino's general nonchalance towards like really traumatic shit, despite only being 14 years old, it kind of indicates this world is just generally messed up, right?
Probably.
I watched I only saw a few episodes of the Kino's anime back in the day. But then my spouse just got back into Kino from the manga and checked out, the animes. Cool. And we got the new anime first, which we didn't realize was the new anime. So I watched the first couple episodes of the new anime. And people definitely had to die in both those episodes. So, I had forgotten from my vague memories of Kino's journey. I knew Kino was a badass, but I forgot that was so highlighted in the story. That the fact that they are a total badass who will shoot people is in fact very relevant to the plot a lot of the time.
Yes.
It's very much an archetype of person. And we'll get into why I think it's interesting that, this 14-year-old is that archetype of person. But
well, the 14-year-old, that's just anime, Like, that's when you become a competent, deadly adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually.
Like, how old is Cloud again? Like, is he 17 or something?
I think they're all supposed to be 16.
Oh my God. No, that's not... Okay.
Okay, that's fair.
Like Naruto's 12 at the beginning? Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. But like, in the context of the narrative, it feels so like... It feels different because the world feels more stark and less shonen anime.
Yeah, but we're talking about Kino's journey.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And we should probably talk about our background with it, of which I have probably the least... I remember seeing some. Oh, okay. Della raised her hand, so maybe not the least. Have you seen or read any Kino's Journey?
Well, thank you for asking, Amato. I binged the series yesterday.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
How bingeable is Kino's Journey?
Oh, it's a bummer. I don't recommend doing that. I recommend watching one episode, then getting outside to get some sunshine. Good friends, good food.
But what about that episode, the country where everything was pretty cool, actually?
Was this real? Was this a dream you had, Amato?
I just figured there must be one, right?
Well, I was thinking, it's like, what country would you actually want to live in all these? It's like, there's no good answer, but it's like, you have to like bend the concept of the question. It's like, well, if I lived in this country and didn't buy into their social premise, then I'd probably be okay on my own with the robots serving everything while everybody else is doing the old weird morality play shit.
You're overthinking it.
I read that Asimov novel. That was The Naked Sun, where everyone's living separately with their robots taking care of them. And then there's a murder.
That was the first episode. Well, not the murder part.
My other experience with Kino's Journey is, of course, that I read Invisible Cities in college. So there you go. Very relevant.
Nice.
That's a novel. It's kind of like Kino's Journey, except without the murders.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You both know I didn't. I'm not a grad student.
That was actually like from this class that I took that was called, it was like a lit class. It fulfilled a lit requirement. It was called The Uses of Fantasy. And I was like, sure, let's try that. Mm-hmm. The class was shitty, but the reading list was awesome.
So for those listeners who might not know, what does Visible City have to do with the concept and why is that a thing? Yeah.
I thought it was like popular that everybody's read these days. It's this Italian novel question mark by this guy Itano Calvano. It's an Italian name. Everything ends in O. Anyway, it's Marco Polo relating his travels to Genghis Khan as the frame story.
Right.
But basically, it's just describing like, and there was this city, and there was this city, and each city's like one page, and they're all weird and like stilted in whatever way they are.
I see.
And so it's like cities where. Whatever. And then like, there's an example. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of vibe of just like, what if this city was strange in this way? And now, okay, moving on. What if this city was strange in this way?
Mm.
Well, The Little Prince is like that. This is not,
that's true.
It's not that
Gulliver's Travels
type of narrative. Gulliver's Travels.
Sure.
This is a type of story.
Any like travel myth, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'd fully call it a genre because like you have to also put morality play into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it always has this sort of tongue in cheek flavor. Like even Kino's Journey does, despite the fact that it's quite stark and dark
and horrific at times.
Yeah. But it is a little bit like, as the audience, you're supposed to abstract yourself a little bit and recognize
right.
that these are tropes that are being played out for the sake of the morality play.
Yeah, like even the language used is these little city-states, and they're called countries, and that's mm-hmm. the unit of measure. You go one country over country, and it's just like a big walled city.
Right.
Yeah.
Always walls.
Yeah.
And
you're supposed to abstract yourself from that and suspension of disbelief enough to be like, this is the contained unit that mm-hmm. we know is supposed to be part of the story.
Right.
And, but Tori, I think Kino's Journey had a big influence on you, right?
It did. I saw it a couple years, like the first mm-hmm. anime. I have not seen the 2017 anime, which
seems good. Seems like more Kino's Journey to me.
Oh. Yeah. So I'm interested in seeing it, but I, watched the anime. It's only 13 episodes, so you haven't seen it. It's worth a watch though. You know, take Della's recommendation.
It's dense.
Yes. I've seen it many times. It's one of my faves. And I watched it probably when I was about 18, 19. The first time, I honestly can't remember. I might've been a little bit younger. I know it came into out in 2003, which means I was 14 when it came out, but I know I was a few years older when I finally watched it. Especially because back in the day, you couldn't just readily find anime at your fingertips. So
yeah.
It looks like wait for things to get subtitled and
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
It looks
blah.
Like the official sub dub was 2004 or so.
That makes sense. Yeah. So yeah, I was in my like late teens, but I've always liked it. I've watched it many times. I think I like a lot of the things that we're talking about, like the morality play and the frame of that. But I also like Kino as a character. And Della pointed out to me, this might partially be my lack of understanding of Japanese, but like to me, in episode 4, when it's revealed that Kino is actually assigned female at birth, that came as a surprise. And I think the narrative wants you to think it's a surprise. I'm not 100% sure.
I think so, because, yeah, Kino's using boku.
Right.
Before.
And I picked up on that because I don't hardly know any Japanese, but I grew up with anime, so I at least know that, right?
Yeah.
But that was something that appealed to me, you know, as a young non-binary person, like, trying to navigate those feelings, seeing this character. And also because there's an implication in the world that gender roles are pretty strict in most of these cultures. It's not made explicit, but it's like, especially with the character of Kino, it's like the pink dress and bow in the hair and long hair, and then suddenly switching to dressing like person who inspired them, the other Kino.
Yeah, the pink dress, interesting. Long hair, the name, that was a flower's name.
Right. Yeah, they say that. And yeah, that the boys were teasing them because of it. And I use they, them pronouns for Kino because I'm honestly not sure what the creators intended Kino to be read as, or even if it matters what the creators intended.
I haven't read any, I mean, I don't know what the light novels do or anything, and I'm not super familiar with, you know, with Kino in general, but like,
also, in
episode two of the new anime, which I did watch, you know, there's a line where like a guard is like, hey, something, something boy. And Kino says, don't call me boy. My name is Kino. And like, I feel like there's kind of, you know, it's that vibe, right? Is like, mm-hmm, Kino is to whatever extent in the original trying not to be associated with gender, you know, with a gender identity.
Yeah.
And like, you know, exactly how you read that is a question. And it's a question this fanfic is going to try to answer also.
But that was in the original, in the old anime also. Mm-hmm. In the same episode, someone calls Kino Boya, and the response was, don't call me Boya, boku wa Kino.
Oh yeah, no, that's the same. Wait, is the new anime a remake? Is it the same stories? Was it the Colosseum episode?
Yeah, it was Colosseum episode.
They remade the, okay, so
later in that episode, like someone calls him Ojo-chan, a little lady, and is like, don't call me Ojo-chan, boku wa Kino.
That's right, yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, no, I think that is pretty explicitly the vibe. But yeah, this fanfic is also fairly explicitly about Kino and their gender identity, right?
Right. Where'd you find this one?
This was a rec off of TV Tropes. If there are appropriate things, it's an easy place for me to check, that and fan lore. In this case, there were two that I was looking at. This one and a Kingdom Hearts crossover where Kino visits the world that never was in Kingdom Hearts 2. I read that one also. And it's like total nonsense, but in a very Kingdom Hearts way, where it's like, you know, having somebody walk into the Kingdom Hearts universe, look around and be like, well, this is really weird, but okay. Like, you know, Kino's an appropriate character to do that. And that's probably how one needs to experience the Kingdom Hearts universe, period.
Well, yeah, I tried reading that as someone who's not, like, I know about Kingdom Hearts. You know, I've heard people talk about it, so I have some idea, but it got very heavy, deep Kingdom Hearts-esque. It seems right off the bat, I'm just not interested.
It's got to be, you've got to be a certain kind of person to care about Organization 13, I think. And I'm not that person.
Certainly. And there were many of those people, but I'm not one of them either.
But this one we're reading is The Nature of Uncarved Blocks.
And yes.
In the notes, it says it was written for a prompt during the Transfic Minifest.
Yep.
Do you know what that is?
No idea. So apparently, some sort of mini fanfiction writing festival where I suppose prompts were put up of like, some, hey, write a transfic, in this case, about Kino's journey, about Kino. The prompt was Kino no Tabi, Kino, so, you know, the character Kino, comma, sartorial decisions. I didn't notice that part. What's sartorial even mean?
Clothing.
Clothing decisions. Okay, fair enough. So that was the prompt they were writing off of. And this came out in 2010. You can find a copy on Archive of Our Own. It was written by Torches.
Why don't I know that?
The name Torches?
No. Sartorial. Yeah. That's why she's asking.
Was it from How I Met Your Mother? Shit. Sorry, go on.
And it's like 2,000 words, so it's not long. In fact, it's short.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It takes less than 5 minutes to read. And there is a podfic that will read it to you, though.
That's right.
That's about, I think, 12 minutes.
Did you listen to the podfic? Because I did not.
I listened to a portion of it before I realized that I'd rather just read it because I was running out of time and it's faster for me to read things than to listen to them.
Sure.
But
you didn't have that 12 minutes. You're a grad student.
I mean, kind of. Like a little bit, yes. I mean, admittedly, partially, that was my anxiety. But no, just to say a little about the podfic, from what I listened to, I think the reader was quite good, but I think they struggled with how to represent all of the parentheticals and commas that are present in this. Mm-hmm. Because the writing, I think, I'm glad I looked at the text, because I think the writing kind of needs the punctuation it's providing.
Yeah, because like in this fanfic, there's parentheticals that last for like three paragraphs.
Yeah.
That's not true, but...
Four.
That's hyperbolic, right?
No, no, right here.
No?
No, in the first part when they're talking about the teacher, there's like a paragraph, paragraph, paragraph.
The first three paragraphs are talking about pistols.
You're
then
right.
Then there's four paragraphs in parentheticals.
Oh, four.
Four. And then it goes back to talking about pistols. So, like, there's a purpose to it all being in the parentheses.
Yeah.
It's just, like, enormous.
I thought it was interesting formatting decision.
Because of the dialogue.
Because, like, having just watched a lot of this Kino series, a lot of it does feel like... present this, look over there, look over there, look over there, and the parentheticals is like a separate stream of thought, but they dwell on it. It did seem like a good motif for the anime.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this was intentional, though, because technically, even if you make a paragraph break, which they did for dialogue, first of all, they should have used wait a second.
There's quotation marks in the parentheses.
Yes. Yeah, they're using, but when they make a, well, hey, that's not for dialogue. Well, that's confusing. They're using an opening parentheses at every line where they make a paragraph break, even though they haven't used the closing parentheses.
Well, that's as if it was a quotation mark with somebody continuing to talk, right?
No, it's not. I thought this was, at first I thought they were making breaks for dialogue, but they're literally just.
No, I mean, they're using the rule as if you were having someone talking for multiple paragraphs. No, that's not the rule. I thought the rule was if someone's talking for multiple paragraphs, you start the parentheses at the first one, but you don't end the parentheses at the first paragraph. Then you start the parentheses at the second paragraph and you end at the second paragraph if they're talking for two paragraphs in a row. I thought that's how you use quotation marks, and they're just extending that into parentheses.
Okay.
Retro punctuation retrospective here.
Okay, I'm bored. Can we change topics?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that, like, even my English major sensibilities, that flew over my head.
The point is they're making some choices here in the format of their writing.
Yeah.
And,
where it's a bit of, like, unreality in the writing, which I think is the tone of watching the series.
A little dreamy,
yeah,
I would
dreamy.
Say.
Yeah, dreamy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shots in Kino where you see something that cuts away to, like, a quote being said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how it relates, then cuts to another shot, then like back, then like back to the current narrative. So it felt familiar.
Formatting wise, we should also talk about how this is written in the second person.
Yes, that's true. It is second person where you are Kino.
Yes.
And so, for example, it says like, when you are older and you have seen more of the world, you will learn many metaphors for the process of cleaning a pistol or whatever. Yes, it's not something you see every day. And I mean, I guess the goal is there to get you in Kino's like shoes and identity. Is that, I mean, I guess that's why you would use second person, right?
I don't know.
I didn't really experience that strongly, but you know, I'm also like a, I don't know, I'm not the most likely person to identify with Kino in a visceral way either.
Well, it's funny because like I do identify with Kino, but I also have seen this anime so many times that like I know that this is the character, therefore it's immediately I'm imagining Kino.
Yeah.
I'm not imagining myself as Kino.
I think it does give it, again, like a dreamlike quality.
Yeah, I think it does.
Where you're this character in the space and it doesn't make sense. It's not you, but you know what it is. And yeah.
And I didn't find it distracting.
No.
Like it reads fine.
I kind of didn't notice that you mentioned it just now. But I might be very used to reading second person. I reread Harold the Ninth a lot. If you've read it, you know.
Does someone want to summarize the story? Or if you prefer, just kind of, I would say the start of the story. But this, it's so short and jumps around to several different times in Kino's life. So I'm not sure that's a useful way to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's short, but I think like the main thread of it we can identify is that like Kino is kind of abstractly talking a little bit about cleaning a gun and about like reflecting on what their mentor who taught them how to shoot is telling them and using metaphor and then also using some literal anecdotes to tell you, hey, I'm trans.
Right.
It's like the first time they put me in a dress, I tore it up. You know, the last time I was in a dress, then they draw directly from the series. I was about to be stabbed by
bad
my father.
Bad things happened, yes.
And then I started binding my chest and then blah, blah, blah. Or you, rather. Yeah. You started binding. You did this.
Yeah. And then let's talk about
but,
what the teacher said to you when you were a little kid about being in society and doing stuff, yada, yada.
And one of the main metaphors here is like with the whole start at the beginning of cleaning the pistol where like you have to do it, you know, the right way. It only goes together one way. It goes together the correct way for a pistol to be.
Right.
And also it is a tool that has no will, right? It is like used by a person.
It can't misfire. It can be mishandled.
Right. Yeah. And in that sense, when the teacher's then talking to them, here's kind of the relevant part there, right? You were unnecessary once. It's an accident, nothing more, that people find you necessary now. Much like the pistol, you are no use without people to find you useful. You tell your teacher this one day, and this is large, large parentheses, by the way. You tell your teacher this one day, and she laughs, but the smile doesn't reach her eyes. You think she sees something in your face that isn't supposed to be there. You're not a pistol, little girl, she says, and you hate that term even when she uses it. For so many years, you don't listen properly to what she tells you then, but in time you will learn to appreciate her wisdom. A pistol has no eyes to see and no ears to hear what she wants to listen to. The pistol has no mind ready to accept the world she lives in, and she cannot prepare herself for it. She turns to face you here, her eyes like marble worn down from years under cold waters, and her hand covers yours, squeezes once. There are no secrets to good marksmanship. A pistol cannot change itself. It's at the mercy of the world around it. Its owners, the weather, age. A pistol has no power to fight these things, and without a hand to guide it, it has no power at all. But the point here being that Kino is not someone, like, as a person, can change themselves. Mm-hmm. And has, you know, their purpose is not defined by what other people expect from them.
Right.
Unlike the pistol. Right. And that's one of the major metaphors kind of leading into that first, like you said, Corey, kind of like that first little self-revelation climax of like, hey, I'm not going to be a girl anymore. Right?
How about now?
Yeah, and that's just kind of the thread, because when we get to the end, it's just like something that's echoed from the series is Kino frequently saying, you know, call me Kino, like we mentioned. So the end, and the other thing is like in the series when Hermes?
We can just
Hermes?
Say Hermes, because Hermes is just how Hermes? You say Hermes in
Hermes.
Yeah, it's
Japanese.
It's not the French fashion
I was,
brand either.
Like,
yeah.
I was almost like saying, yeah, almost like saying it like it's Spanish. I don't know where my brain was going.
And also,
Hermes.
We're talking about trans things, Hermes, Aphrodite, you know.
Yeah.
Regular. Anyways, Hermes.
Anyway, the motorcycle.
Yes.
Motorrad. The first time, there's a whole thing in the show where like Hermes is baffled that Kino was ever not Kino, because Hermes was just put together when they met Kino.
Yeah.
So at the very end, it comes back up again in a very similar way where Kino's just reflecting and is like laughing like, Kino,
it's
I'm
pretty,
Kino.
It's pretty sweet.
And, yeah.
And like reaffirming their own identity to themselves. And Hermes is just like, who else would you be?
What else would you be? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Getting some joy from that, I think.
And that literally happens in the anime. And I just love that like moment. Because again, I don't know what the creator intent was with the show, but like, Kino's identity is important in the show. And I think that's like death of the author, blah, blah, blah. But also Kino's identity is important.
Yeah.
Look, no matter how you slice what they think.
Yeah. And that's not defined by other people that
Well, yeah. Not being defined by turning into an adult, which you could easily interpret as not being defined by gender roles.
Even traveling around doesn't let other cultures or cities or adults apply things to them. They just reject it.
Yeah, and
completely, thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And whether your read on Kino's gender identity is exactly the same as the author's, that part is absolutely, you know, written in canon, like the point, like that's what the author was doing, right?
Well, because like, even if you think that Kino could be cisgender, Kino's still defying a gender role.
That's right.
I think that's pretty clear in the series.
Well, it's like defying society societal role.
Choosing to live outside of those expectations of any given place.
And that, even though that's not the intent, that includes gender roles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And at that point, it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I like, mm-hmm. is that we have that, kind of that revelation, about halfway through the story. Mm-hmm. And then they fit in a little, like, Kino going to, like, a place with weird, you know, like, cultural rules and, like, you know, having, like, a connection there. And no one even gets shot. And I kind of liked it.
Well, there was the interesting turning point in the middle where it talks about the first time that they wore pants.
Right.
And the teacher's like, oh, I'm sorry. Well, your dress is dirty. We'll get that clean and get it back. And then Kino's like, you know what? I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Well, the teacher's apologizing because they, like, only had this, like, small amount of spare cloth and they sewed it really quickly.
Like rough burlap or something.
Yeah, no. Like, the clothes aren't good, basically.
They're itchy and, yeah.
But Kino's just like, bad pants better than good dress.
Yeah, and the Kino likes it that when they say that, the teacher's like, okay. Or that means a lot to Kino, that being accepted by an adult like that.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Yeah.
But then, like, I didn't misread this, right? Like, the second half is an origin story for Kino's chest bindings, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
It's actually, it's very odd, but, like, oddly kind of, I don't know, oddly kind of neat, where, like, it says, the binding across your chest you acquire shortly after you leave her tutelage, blah, as you're passing through a town painted in eye-searing reds, greens, and yellows. Prominently displayed, there's a store, Kaiman's Fetishery, and this is fetish in the religious sense.
Yeah, religious icons.
Kaiman is a deeply religious man. All his wares are for the purpose of ritual, and he refuses to sell to anyone who intends to abuse his services for superficial or merely aesthetic reasons. It's, like, very interesting. It, like, calls to mind all of those world cultures where, like, being in some way genderqueer was kind of, like, had religious connotations.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and, like, Kino has, but the justification, Kino has come up with that religious justification, and so tells a story which we do not hear.
Right. Well, the line there is, his faith and the faith of his city is not a faith of gods, and so he asks you to explain to him the color of your soul.
And Kino talks about their travels, which...
It rambles about a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. Mm-hmm.
But Kaiman, this priest, is just like, yeah, you can have this as long as you promise never to tell that story again. Tell, like, right?
No, exactly, actually...
Does that work out?
Well, they say something like...
Kino says... Sorry.
No, go on.
Oh, Kino
says they
not to...
Kino says they never tell a story twice because, like, the story is the property of the audience. Right. What the crafter of religious stuff says is he asks for the promise to never see him again, for he believes that to meet the same traveler twice is a foretelling of terrible potency. This is, again, kind of part of the Kino's world, right? Where, like, a traveler in this world is, it feels like there should be a capital T,
well,
right?
It's a class.
Right.
It's a D&D class, you know.
Because normal people don't just go from one place to another. Like, a traveler is, like, one of these very strange people who does.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though I do gotta make the argument that there is one episode in Kino's journey where Kino tells the same story twice.
The railway. One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't tell it a third time.
Because the person refuses
deliberately
to hear it, I think, or something.
No. Kino says that you're tired of telling it after twice.
Okay.
But they do tell it twice. So I feel like it would have been a better detail to say they don't tell a story three times. Especially because that would echo the three days.
Three days.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's fine. But yeah. So that's basically that, right?
Yeah. That's about where the story finishes up, and you already mentioned the, like, I'm Kino kind of thing with Hermes at the end.
Yeah.
And it's short and sweet.
Yeah, it's about, it is about the clothes, isn't it? Because it's talking about the feeling comfortable with the pants and the, you know, the material. Yeah, anyway.
And also at the very end, there's something about how their voice comes out a little rougher, a little lower, or your voice comes out a little rougher, a little lower than you expected, and the lower pitch of it resettles you in your skin a little more.
Mm.
So yeah, mostly about the clothes. Yeah, like Amato said, the second half is literally about that chest binding, but then there's a little bit of tension in that Kino's feeling like, you know, they're 14, like going through, I guess they're going through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Like feeling like the binding's getting a little tighter, their chest is growing, and that's a little uncomfortable. And so there's like tension there. There's, and I think like the author actually identified there's no easy resolution here in their note.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But we're supposed to interpret Kino trying to find a way to be comfortable in their own skin.
Mm-hmm. So, do we have any complaints about the story?
I think it's a little hard to tell what's going on sometimes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes little details get lost in the kind of poetic flow.
Yeah.
Like, for example, with that thing with Kaiman, it's not entirely clear what Kaiman provides for Kino.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of, other than the single line at the very beginning of the sequence, the binding across your chest you acquire shortly after you leave for tutelage.
Yeah.
The rest of it, there's like no description. It's like you kind of have to like remember or read implicitly. There's things like that where sometimes it feels like details just kind of slipped away.
It might have helped if they spent a little bit more time setting up the scene, maybe.
Like 3 days, maybe. Sorry, I'm just going to keep doing that. Sorry, go on.
No, that's it. That's all I thought.
Okay, well, I can... Did you have more about it? Or
you do yours.
Okay. The parentheticals are inconsistent. Like, I'm not complaining about whether the punctuation is used correctly or not. I'm saying that there's literally one paragraph where it's like, they use it in a traditional way. You allow yourself to be led along in a parade of multi-hued, in parentheses, some with skin and natural tones of brown, others clearly painted, blah, 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 and parentheses, and the sentence continues. Then, following that, there's a point where the pleasantness of Hermes whining after a long day on the road and how easily it lulls you to sleep. In parentheses, in quotation marks, ah, you really do that? Hermes yelps indignantly as if this isn't blah, 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 and parentheses. It's like, why is that in parentheses? I did not see a reason for that.
Because it's an interruption to the things.
How you use parentheses.
But that's why they're being used here.
That's how they're using them.
But that's not how you use them.
It's not how you use them.
Good point. I mean, look. This author can use them however they want.
Yeah.
What I'm pointing out is that there doesn't seem to be a distinct purpose.
Or internal consistency.
Internal consistency. That is absolutely the right way to say it. Thank you.
I agree. I wouldn't use that example because I think that does interrupt the flow of what's being of like the main topic. But there's other parts where it's not used like that. You're totally right. For example, I'm looking the description of after she tears her dress as a kid. This is how you learn to feel guilty and also to be disappointed and that your body does not belong to you, but other people. Parentheses. You are young enough that you barely understand your alphabet. You understand this. And parentheses. Like,
yeah.
That's not an interruption of like the topic. That's a continuation of the topic. And so I understand what you're saying, that like the parentheses are not used consistently, and therefore it can be a little distracting.
I didn't even pick up on the idea that the parentheses were supposed to be used as an interruption of the topic, which is why I didn't pick up on that, because they're used inconsistently. Though I do see your argument there that maybe that was the intention.
It's usually the intention, but it's not always the intention, I think.
Well, it didn't bother me as much as it did you two, apparently, because it just seemed like it was supposed to be wandering thoughts or diverse feelings, or like, maybe it is like the same concept, but you're feeling differently about you, the person being referred to in this narration, feels differently about different things and remembering things or repressing or highlighting little aspects of the same event.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense with me, but I'm not sure I make sense. So.
Well, I would just prefer to use different types of punctuation, like,
yeah,
for different things. Like, that would make the logic make more sense to me.
Mm.
But it's not much of a complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think overall it flows fairly well.
And
it
also does. You don't spend a lot of time in it. It's a short fan.
True. Well, that leads into what do we want to praise about the story on our way out? What's your favorite thing?
Trans joy. It's a good descriptor of trans and gender euphoria in different moments.
Good.
I think.
I was wondering how you two would feel about that because, I mean, I can't specifically, what's the word, emphasize? Because, like, with those feelings specifically.
Empathize,
not emphasize. That's a different word.
You could emphasize.
I also think with parentheses, maybe empathize.
Yeah.
Well, there's like sympathize and empathize, and I forget which one's which.
Well, and like historically they're reversed, but now we use them as the opposite.
Is that right? That's why I'm confused.
But it is confusing.
But anyway, it's just like the last bit where Hermes is like, "Who else could you be?" Of course, and just how Kina was laughing, and it's not stated in the text, but you understand. Or I understood that it was like very affirming. You are, of course, thinking anybody else saying anything else is dumb and stupid. They'd be stupid. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, I kind of want to like echo that too, because in a way where I'm like, I'm not as used to, especially with older stuff, like seeing a... this feels like a non-binary trans narrative.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but like, regardless, they sort of picked up on the thread of the show of like, Kino is Kino.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And all they did was just extrapolate a little bit to Kino is, you know, binds their chest and wants their voice to be lower. Like, there's a little bit of dysphoria in the body, but like, nonetheless, it comes back to them, yeah, being happy, being themselves, and knowing that it sort of like implies the irrelevance of gender to their experience, I guess.
And that very firm confidence in who they are is very Kino, mm-hmm. as seen in the show.
Yeah.
And I like, there's this vibe like, well, for one thing, I like, you know, the dreamlike vibe seems to fit with Kino's world.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like this kind of all ties together with Kino as a character, wherein like the metaphor about the pistols leading into Kino's like identity as, you know, trans in some way, like, you know, we're not sure what Kino considers themselves as, but they're like, well, I'm not that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the fact that that all is like presented this way kind of makes one feel like the fact that Kino is a total badass who can shoot you in the head with a pistol is partially because they know who they are so well and because they're trans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a very, like, philosophical, like, the Dark Tower, the gunfighter sort of, like, way of, like, being a badass.
Well, what I appreciate is a good thing fan fiction does is find those little cracks in the timeline. There's, in the show, you see, like, Kino as a kid and then Kino as a traveler. And there is a definite shift somewhere in their self-identity and presentation yeah. and confidence. And you kind of just assume, but this is kind of expounding on that unseen bit a little bit to kind of explain, oh, this is how that character got to be so confident in themselves through that work.
Mm-hmm. I guess that brings us to the end. We need to move on to the next fanfic. Our allotted time here. Is, you know, relatively short, but over now.
I think we still have 2.5 days. So. Buckle in, people.
Look, you know, I could give some fanfics that would take us 2.5 days to talk about. It's just that reading them would take forever, right?
Stop.
Yeah, but how much tragedy and, you know,
my you're right.
narrative.
My brain hurts with the thought of it. I'm sorry. I lied. No.
And you're right. We don't want court disaster.
Indeed. Is today the end of the world or is that tomorrow?
Well, now if we smash the green plate.
Oh, of course.
All right. This was episode 170 of Retro Fanfic Retrospective, The Nature of Uncarved Blocks by Torches. We'll provide a link to the AO3 link in the show notes, as well as a link to the podfic by Rhea314, which is on LiveJournal. I've got to say, I kind of expect LiveJournal to disappear like GeoCities any day, but it doesn't. LiveJournal just stays.
That's almost like not important enough to disappear. <You know? laughs>
Well, I'll tell you, it's fairly convenient to have as an archive of people talking about fanfiction.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, you can still read Promstruck on it, I think. Yeah, it's useful.
You know, quick question. If the Kino's world had modern technology, would Kino have a travel Instagram that they post to?
Who says it doesn't have modern technology?
Well,
in places it does, and in places it doesn't. But they do not have
a communication,
global communication. That's like a big thing. It's like no matter how advanced the technology, they can't communicate with each other.
And
anyway,
only one person has flown so far.
Yeah, sorry, pet peeve over.
But yeah, no, they have future technology places also. So
well, maybe only travelers have Instagram.
Are you feeling good about this motto?
I'm just planning out my Kino's fanfic that I'm going to be writing. Okay.
Well, first, you're going to have to actually watch the whole thing or read the whole thing, or you know,
if you call Kino digital nomad, I might have to harm you physically.
That's a good idea. We'll work that in.
Call out the persuader. Where are we? What's happening?
The intro song to the podcast is The Weekly Fair off of the album Poppy's Incredible Adventure by Komiku. The outro song is Run Against the Universe from the same album. You can find this album and other works by Komiku at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Our podcast is edited by Della Rose one way or another every time it happens. I don't see it happen, but I have faith it happens.
Well, I'm just kidding. Anybody write whatever fanfic you want, but I don't have to like it.
You can find our website at retrofanficretrospective.podbean.com or bit.ly/retrofanfic or in the Kingdom of Podcasters, where I'm sure they're just like spilling out onto the streets.
Country.
Country, not kingdom.
Excuse yeah, me. Some country, countries have kings.
But they're still the country of something.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Countries have kings, but kingdoms don't have country. Never mind.
There are no kingdoms, yeah. If you have questions, comments, or thoughts about the episode, you can contact us by email at retrofanficretrospective@gmail.com or leave reviews or whatever on the podcast service that you use. I'm Amato.
I'm Tori.
I'm Della.
We're just three Earth life forms trying to be nice to each other. Until next time, take care.
Also, the microphones are on.
Who's Mike?
Don't worry about it.
I'm just saying that, you know, I wanna meet this person.
Shall we record?
Get close to the mic, Amato. You love the mic.
I like the mic.
Mike's hot.
It's fine. I think it's just you, Della.
Oh, thank
You're
you.
Hot.
Yeah. That was a, is it hot in here or is it just you kind of joke?
Oh, got it.
Smooth. Yeah. It is warm in here though.
I think that might just be you.
I was just.
Stop.
Okay. Are we ready to go?
Sure. Why not?